This morning is the annual reminder for those of you that have not yet made your Christmas cake, puddings or dumplings that today is the last of the best possible days to do so. So as you leave church this morning, you will still have time to collect dried fruit and whatever liquid you wish to use for soaking the fruit, and then combine those elements, leave them for a couple of hours, so that later this afternoon your home will be filled with the aroma of preparation. Stir Up Sunday, named after the opening words of the collect that we used at the beginning there, for Christ the King Sunday. In a past time, today was the beginning of preparations for Advent. It's not just the words of the collect that stir us up this morning. In the liturgical year, this is Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday on which we reflect upon the kind of king or leader that we want, over the kind of king or leader we encounter in the world and in the gospel. It is fortuitous that at the next service, we will be celebrating the baptism of Eve Gilchrist's baby boy, Bruce. Bruce is in part named after the man below my feet. As a congregation, embedded within our history is an understanding of differing forms of leadership. The legacy of Malcolm and Margaret, of a transforming role for leadership, compassion for those whom they lived amongst. We enjoy an idolised version of Robert the Bruce, managing to not notice the bits that might make us uncomfortable. As a congregation, we hope that baby Bruce becomes all that God invites him to be. And within his baptism this morning, there is, as there is with every baptism, an invitation to discover what Jesus' leadership brings to the world and to our lives. So on a Sunday when we think about kingship, we might be expecting glowing accounts of leadership, stories of Jesus' glory, moments of inspired leadership by the kings of Israel. Instead, we get a prophet railing against the leaders of Judah and a man hanging between thieves as he's derided. The words of Jeremiah come from a turbulent time for the people of Israel. The land of Judah has been invaded twice by the Babylonians. And that word shepherd is a metaphor commonly used in relation to kingship. Like a shepherd, rulers were meant to ensure the well-being of their people. As we heard from Jeremiah, this has not been happening. Instead, it would seem that the leadership of Judah has led to people being driven away from the safety and security of their land. Through Jeremiah's prophecy, we learn that God intends to intervene to ensure that there is a shepherd who will gather God's people together and ensure that they are no longer fearful. This is, of course, one of those texts that's preparing us for Advent, for the coming of the Messiah. A new shepherd will come from David's line, bringing fresh wisdom, ensuring justice. And then the image moves to that of a branch or a vine. And so we're encouraged by fruitful leadership that reaches beyond itself to those most in need of nourishment. As we enter the crucifixion scene in Luke, we should remember that the chapter begins with a series of trials as Jesus is passed backwards and forwards between the Jews and the Romans, deciding how best to deal with him. The confusion of who is punishing Jesus continues into the scene that we heard itself as crowds watch, the rulers sneer, the soldiers mock. Rome announces its thoughts on Jesus in a sign placed upon the cross, and the criminals disagree over Jesus' identity. Crucifixion was a Roman form of punishment. It was a piece of public performance meant to publicly humiliate. Unlike the Hollywood versions of Jesus' death, There's no blood and gore presented in this scene by Luke. Instead, the pain and the loneliness comes in the mocking, in the failing to understand who Jesus is. Core to the scene is an unasked question. What kind of king do we want? What kind of leader do we want? Do we want the leadership of Rome that holds power by humiliating and demeaning others? Do we want the leadership of the biblical Jewish leadership that hides behind others to ensure their power and respectability and ignores the poverty and lack of security of the people for whom they have responsibility? Or are we prepared to follow a king who makes us uncomfortable, as Debbie Thomas writes? A Lutheran pastor, David Luz, says, Jesus is not the king we want, but the one we need. Jesus reminds us that far from promising us a better future, he redeems us for today, not only forgiving us for what we have done or not done, but setting us free to stand with those in need around us, advocating for their welfare, demanding their just treatment, and seeing them in the very presence of the God who always takes the side of the vulnerable. It is fortuitous that just over a fortnight before a general election, we as a Christian community are asked to consider what good leadership might look like. There are several more days of media events where we are offered the opportunity to hear how leaders of political parties will use their office to govern and to bring about the promised policies of each of their manifestos. Hearing these readings this morning should stir us up again to think about what leadership qualities are needed if a world, if a country, if a community where God's realm is setting the agenda is being transformed by the government, transforming the lives of the most vulnerable of our society. We might think that how we vote individually or how Scotland votes will have little or no effect on the control of the UK Parliament. But offering good leadership or looking for the instilling of Christ's reign in our world today might be more than placing a box, a cross in a box. It could be finding the right words to say to those we know elsewhere in the country. We are a congregation who know people everywhere, and politics is always on the agenda. Even in friendship, politics is always on the agenda. Perhaps we might be the ones to encourage those we know elsewhere in the country to, at the very least, vote. If we're a little bit braver, to suggest the kind of hopes and ambitions for the kind of country we want to live in. But at the very least, maybe we're to be stirred up to think about the kind of leadership that we, as a Christian community, at the heart of a town in Scotland, should be offering. On a morning when we will baptise a baby, in the hope that our faith might shape his life, do we offer an invitation to a cosy club or to a way of life that is passionate about those who are most vulnerable in our world and prepared to change and grow so that they too might find they are welcomed into the chaotic, fruitful branches of Christ's outstretched arms. Amen.